into prayer, James. Certainly the reading of the scriptures by Stuart. Welcome, everybody. Before I forget it, Faye Baker called me last night, and she told me she was now home from the hospital, and she was feeling better, and she was so excited about that. Keep praying for all those that are sick, and let's encourage them. We were surely sorry to hear and learn of the death of our beloved sister, Mert. The funeral will be at 2 o'clock. I know David is, certainly he is broken because of the fact he's lost his loved one. Continue to pray for them too. The book of Acts is a wonderful book. First 12 chapters of the book of Acts deals with Peter mostly. And the things that Peter had to do with regards to the gospel of Jesus Christ. Beginning in chapter 13, from the rest of the book of Acts, you're going to be able to learn that now Luke shifts to Paul as the apostle. Paul now is being told to go, and he's starting his first missionary journey. And they're traveling to get over to Antioch and Pisidia. Guess what? He goes to the synagogue. That's where the Jews were. And he's preaching to these people the wonderful gospel of Jesus Christ. Now, he had a good result that day. And there was that many people heard and they wanted to hear more of what Paul had to say concerning this man, Jesus. However, the next Sabbath, when they came together and he found out, and the rulers, of course, saw that the whole city came together to hear. Then, of course, there was repercussions to pay as a result. But in the midst of what he's saying to these people now, to Antioch and Pisidia, notice as he reads, or as he speaks, where the Bible says, "Be it known unto you therefore, men and brethren, that through this man," I want to talk about this man. I want us to remember what Paul said. And he said to these people, "I want you to hear that it's through this man is preached unto you the forgiveness of sins." That's good news. That's good news for me. That's good news for you. The preaching of the gospel of Jesus Christ is for the purpose of bringing about the forgiveness of our sins. We want to have forgiveness. We desire to have forgiveness. And it's through this man, not through Paul. It was through Jesus Christ. Preaching should be done through Jesus Christ. And he said, "It's through this man. It's preached unto you the forgiveness of sins." And then he adds, "And by him," by whom? By this man. "By him, all that believe." Those who believe would be those who really truly accept what Christ says. They do what Christ wants them to do. They love Christ. They become his disciples and they're faithful to Christ. And no wonder he says, "By him all that believe are justified from all things." I want to be justified, don't you? I want us all, when we stand before the great bar of God, that great judgment day of the Lord, and we want to hear the Lord say, "Through Christ, we have been justified. We are in Christ." And we want to hear the Lord say, "You're such as you ought to be. You're forgiven. You're justified." And notice what he says. "By him all that believe are justified from all things from which you could not be justified by the law of Moses." To be justified is simply to be declared such as you ought to be. Another word is righteous. You become righteous. How do we become righteous? Well, we become righteous because we're in he who is righteous. We're in Jesus Christ. We're made right in God's sight. There's so many examples in the Bible. I've got two of them. Number one, these Galatians. They were Christians, but what were they doing? They were seeking to be justified by the law of Moses. You can't be. You cannot be declared such as you ought to be if you submit to the law of Moses. Moses, the Bible says, law could not justify you. In Galatians 5 and verse 4, Christ has become of no effect unto you. Whosoever you are justified by the law, you're fallen from the grace of God. We want to be justified. How? Through this man. And whenever people turn to the old law to seek to bring about justification, the Bible tells us they have fallen from the grace of God. But another good example is found over in Luke 18. You remember two men wanted to be justified. They go into the temple to pray. Look at it carefully. In the book of Luke, the Bible says two men went into the temple to pray. The one was a Pharisee and the other a publican. And the Bible says the Pharisee stood and prayed thus with himself, God, I thank thee that I am not as other men are, extortioners, unjust, adulterers, or even as this publican. I fast twice in the week. I give tithes of all that I possess. Isn't that something? He's talking to God. And what is he saying to God? God, I'm not like all these other folks. God, I'm not a man that goes out and extorts other people's goods. I'm not an individual that is unjust. I don't engage in adultery. And guess what? I'm not even like this publican. Does God know? Well, of course he does. You don't talk to God that way. That man was justified within himself. Where is your justification? It's in Jesus Christ. And the publican, standing afar off, would not lift up so much as his eyes unto heaven, but he smote upon his breast and he said, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. Would you say that? What does it take to get you to say that? Seven words. And those seven words, the Bible says, described a man that was talking to God. And the Bible says, Jesus said. That's what we want to know. Whom did Jesus say is justified? I tell you, this man went down to his house justified rather than the other. For everyone that exalteth himself shall be abased, and he that humbleth himself shall be exalted. Wow. One of the purposes these men go into the temple to pray, to do what? To be cleansed. Hopefully. But not the first one. He trusted in himself. That was his problem. And he felt he was already cleansed. And he thanked the Lord that he wasn't an extortioner, unjust, adulterer. He wouldn't like this publican. Thought it was quite interesting too. He proceeds to tell God what he is like. You know what, God? I fast twice in the week. I fast twice in the week. I give tithes of all that I possess. What he's really saying, Lord, I sure am a good fella. But he isn't. He's not even justified by the Lord. Some people were trusting in themselves, Jesus said, and that's why he gave that parable. Same people, by this man, some were condemned. You know, it's good to be religious. Oh, it's good to pray. We ought to do more of it. Surely God wants us to go in the place of prayer. Early disciples in Acts 2, verse 42, they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship, in the breaking of bread, in prayers. But look what the Bible says. Surely, good men ought to pray, and they ought to pray public in the house of God. But it's important to remember what we say. Do we have trouble with this eyes business? Do we have trouble with when we go to prayer to God? That we're reminding God, you know, we surely are not very bad. Sebastian, the fellow I converted, we were talking last week. He said there was an old man that made this statement. He said, I had never heard it before. He said, use it in your sermon. And the statement was, all sin is the same size as with God. You mean a gossiper as bad as an adulterer? It's sin. Do you mean telling a little lie that's just as bad as someone going out here and murdering? Does God admit any sin as being little? I thought that statement was pretty interesting. You know, all sin is the same size with God. You know why that man, when he went into that temple to pray, and the Bible says he smote his breast and he said, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. I ask you, did that Pharisee one time say, I have sinned. I am in need of forgiveness from God. Romans 3:23, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Did you sin last week? Did I sin? Sure. What do? When we sin, we want to be forgiven. Why? We want to be justified. We want to be declared such as we ought to be. How do we do that? We admit it. We say to God, if something's personal, private, we say to God, I am so sorry. How many times did you have to say that last week? I had to. I'm so sorry. Please forgive me. Where's the justification for you and me to be declared forgiven? Be it known unto you and to all men that through this man is preached the forgiveness of sin. That forgiveness is in Christ Jesus. That old publican smote his breast. He had 7 words that he had to say from the heart. And Jesus said he was the individual that truly was justified. Quality is as important as quantity. It's not the amount of words that you say, it's what you say. We don't pray enough, and I know that, and you do too. And we don't pray enough together. Some congregations, some of them now, some of the brethren are meeting. And they go into a room and spend 35, 40 minutes together, and they just simply pray together. That's good. We need to do more of it. And we ought to be ashamed sometimes when we're praying that we fall asleep. And you know what, my friends? Do we offer God thanks for the food that we eat? We ought to pray more. Pray, but think. What are you saying? How are you saying it? Why are you saying it? Just like eating the Lord's Supper. I don't know about you, but I have a difficulty sometimes. Right after I preach, I'm exhausted. I sit down trying to get my mind back on exactly what now I'm doing. And then we give thanks for the bread. Is my mind set on the Lord whom we are now telling in heaven and showing that we're thankful for His body and for His blood? Thinking, being justified in the sight of God. But you know what? The way we say it to God. This Pharisee was standing all by himself. The tax collector, the Bible said, would not so much as lift his eyes to heaven, but he smote up on his breast and he said, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. He really meant it. God's not impressed with rituals. He's impressed with you. He wants me to talk to Him as my Father in heaven. When we pray, we have to remember that we want to, just like these men that went into the temple to pray, we want to be justified. We want to be cleansed of our guilt. But the only way that can be possible is when we admit it and seek to overcome it. 2 people went in there for one mission. That's for justification, but only one came away as being justified. We go to worship. We don't come because we have to come. Somebody says, tell me where I have to be there. Huh? You don't enjoy going? You wish you didn't have to go? Friends, the psalmist said in Psalms 122, verse 1, I was glad when they said unto me, let us go into the house of the Lord. I ask you, are you happy to be here today? You wish you could be somewhere else? We need spiritual food to live on. And the only way to get it is by digesting God's precious truth. In Hebrews 5, we are in that chapter. Just finished it up in my adult class on Wednesday night. And one of the problems that they had was dullness of hearing. They were no longer now growing as they should. They were just drinking milk instead of digesting the deep things of God. Justification is a process, therefore, of becoming just. So what I thought I would do in conclusion is take you through the Bible to some passages of Scriptures to see how great a subject this is. That is, am I justified? Today, if I stand before my God, will my God say to me, Guy, you lived and your life was accepted. If not, then I need to do something about my soul. Number one, be it known unto you, therefore, men and brethren, that through this man, Jesus, is preached unto you the forgiveness of sins. Yes, and by him that all that believe are justified from all things from which you could not be justified by the law of Moses. That's true. To be justified, you've got to be in him. It's the gift of God's grace. For if by one man's offense death reigned by one, much more they which receive abundance of grace and of the gift of righteousness shall reign in life by one, who in this man, Jesus Christ. Therefore, as by the offense of one, judgment came upon all men to condemnation, even so by the righteousness of one, the free gift came upon all men unto justification of life, Romans 5. 17 and 18. That's the only way you can be in Christ Jesus. And then Titus 3 verse 7 says that being justified by His grace, we should be made heirs. Can you believe it? God does something for us. What is it? He puts us in a position where we can receive the most magnificent gift, and that is having that hope of eternal life. Titus 3 verse 7. And then in Romans 3, 24 and 25. Being justified freely by His grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus, whom God has set forth to be a propitiation through faith in His blood, to declare His righteousness for the remission of sins that are past through the forbearance of God. Justification is through the redemption, and that is in Christ Jesus our Lord. It brings peace. It's something you can't compare anything to. Therefore, being justified, declared such as you are, by faith we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. That's an active faith. That's a faith that believes. That's a faith that works. That's a faith that shows to God that we are in His people. And we want to do what God wants us to do. Oh, there are so many other scriptures. Suffice it to say, Paul was successful that day when he was over there at Antioch in Pisidia and he was preaching and teaching that man, Jesus Christ. For in Him there is forgiveness, forgiveness of sins. And you and I need to preach that same. The church today is so concerned about something that they ought not even be concerned about. We ought to be concerned about what? That which saves men and not about what makes a better life here. Rather, the emphasis should be, let's do all we can as Paul did, as we go forth with the gospel of Christ, preaching that glorious gospel of Jesus Christ. And I conclude this morning by asking you this question. Are you justified? What would be the judgment of God for you and for me today if we meet Him in this very hour? We have so many wonderful blessings who are in Christ Jesus. Are you faithful to Him? Have you been faithful? Do you attend all the services? Are you being so active? Do you read your Bible? Do you pray? Do you take your children and you walk with your children and you love your children and you teach your children, you hug your children and you take care of your mama and your daddy if they're down and you help take care of other people who are in distress or going through all kinds of problems because you want to share and do all that you can in this life to show them that this life for you is just the life to live for the Son of God. Early disciples, boy, when they obeyed the gospel, they were setting fire on fire by carrying forth that glorious gospel. Are you justified? Declared such as you ought to be. Jesus Christ wants you to be in His kingdom, and that's why Paul preached through that man, Jesus Christ and Him crucified. If you're here today, you're not a Christian. Won't you arise, be baptized, wash away your sins, call in on the name of the Lord? Don't you wait till it's too late. Now's the day of salvation. And if you're a child of God and you haven't lived faithfully, admit it. The biggest crime you'd ever make, the biggest sin, I would think, would surely be to go through this life knowing that you're not right and die in that way without having forgiveness for your sins. Are you justified? There's one way, through Jesus Christ. Won't you this morning come and obey Him, our Lord and our Savior? We're singing, "Just as I am." That's how you come. He can make you what He wants you to be if only you'll yield and obey and walk in His way. You're subject in any way. Won't you come give me your hand, but God your heart, while together we stand in